What a wide awake group. They braved the time change. Really glad to see all of you here. And today we're going to combine some serious scripture study with a little bit of fun. And we'll be making fun of people that give these really shallow commentaries. So if you're allergic to fun things, or if you're allergic to serious Bible study, Brother Al will show you out. The rest of you are welcome to stay. And let's go before the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, it's such a privilege to sit before your people and to proclaim your wonderful gospel. Lord, there are mysteries here we don't understand. Especially we don't understand how your grace can be so amazing and allow us to be here and to be spoken about in such amazing ways in your scriptures. We ask you, Lord, to bless our teaching and just enliven our hearts to receive your word and receive the message that you would give to each one of us individually this morning. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Okay, if you brought your Bibles today, please turn to Revelation chapter 4. If you didn't bring a Bible, Brother Al has extras. Raise your hand and we'll put one of our Bibles in your hand. Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. After these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, "Come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this." After this meaning after the things of the church. If you recall, the Lord gave the Apostle John an outline of the book. Write the things you have seen, the things which are, which is Revelation chapter 2 and 3, the church age, and the things which shall be after these things. Now we get to see what comes after these things. Now, have any of you all seen a door open in heaven? I didn't think so. I haven't either. Don't feel bad. We haven't seen that door, but John is given a chance to go in and look. So, starting in verse 2, John says, "Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he who sat there was like a jasper and a sardius stone in appearance, and there was a rainbow around the throne, in appearance like an emerald." So it's fitting that we sang the song Amazing Grace, because that rainbow, one of the first things that John notices is a rainbow to remind everybody, no, we're not here by our works. We're here by his grace. The Lord vowed after the flood that he would never again destroy the earth by water. And he put the rainbow in the sky to remind us of his grace and his love for us individually. So we sang it today. So he was in the Spirit. And this picture, it leaves me speechless. We see Almighty God the Father seated there. Imagine if we were invited to come sit there and observe the Lord. And he's looking directly at you. He knows your strengths. He knows your faith. But he also knows your weakness. He knows your shortcomings. And you can't hide. He's looking at you. But he's surrounded by this rainbow. And you draw comfort from that. So this vision is not about your shortcomings. No, no. This is all about God the Father. Something is about to be communicated to us. And we see some of what's about to be communicated, starting in verse 4. Around the throne are 24 thrones, and on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their heads. Wait a minute, wait. Who are these 24? Can any of you name any places where the number 24 occurs in Scripture besides here? Most people draw blanks. There were 24 courses of singers in the temple, and there were 24 courses of priests that were responsible for taking care of the temple, 15 days for each group. And that's how in the Gospel of Luke, when you find that Elizabeth's husband was in the course of Abijah, that you can count from the beginning of the Hebrew year and figure out, okay, this is when he went into the temple and he had the vision, and then he later came out speechless, and then he ended up with the son John. And that ties into the date when our Lord was born. So if you're really curious, you can follow that trail and figure out what month of the year was the Lord born. Again, one of the things, it's a glory of God to conceal a matter and the glory of Bible students to search it out. All right. So there are 24 guys. Maybe the girls, but they're elders. Now, there are a lot of questions here. It's obvious that they're a special group. They're sitting on thrones. They're not just on their faces, though they soon will be. But what's so special about these people? And why are they 24? When I first saw this passage, as a new believer, I figured, well, maybe these are special people. Maybe this is 12 of our Old Testament heroes, like David and Noah and Moses, and 12 of our New Testament heroes, like the apostles and Paul. So, you know, what's the purpose of these 24? And why are they special? Well, it was a convenient theory at the time, and then I just kept reading to go forward. But the question remains, who are these 24 people? Why are they called elders? And why are they called sitting on thrones? Well, obviously thrones indicate a position of authority or honor. So who gets to sit on thrones? Let's do the World's Shallowest Bible Study. Let's go back half a chapter to Revelation 3, verse 21, in our Lord's letter to the church at Laodicea. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. This is in the church to Laodicea. Does that mean that these 24 elders are 24 representatives, overcomers from Laodicea? Yes, it's okay to laugh. Yes, that's really a dumb statement. But that's how silly some commentaries are. Now, what about the white robes? Well, in our Lord's letter to the church at Sardis, Revelation 3, verse 5, the Lord promises, he who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. So will the 24 elders be 24 overcomers from Sardis? Or maybe it's 12 from Laodicea, 12 from Sardis. And yes, it's okay to nod and say that's dumb, because it is dumb. And what about the crowns of gold? Let's go back another page to Revelation 2, verse 10. Our Lord says to the people of Smyrna, be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. So, gee, maybe the 24 elders are 8 from this town, 8 from this town, 8 from the... No, obviously that's silly. But there's still the question remains, who are these 24 elders, and what is their rank in the hierarchy of the throne room? Well, the next few verses of Revelation give us some perspective. Let's start reading again at verse 5. And from the throne proceeded lightnings, thunderings, and voices. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Before the throne there was a sea of glass, like crystal. In the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures full of eyes in front and back. The first living creature was like a lion, the second living creature like a calf. The third living creature had a face like a man. And the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes all around and within. And they do not rest day or night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Well, our first glimpse of the Lord on his throne included a reminder of the very first rainbow, that God is merciful and gracious, and the rainbow, in his perspective, is still there between us and him, reminding us of his grace. And the living creatures make it crystal clear what they believe. Holy, holy, holy. Now let's see the living creatures in action, starting at verse 9. Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne, and they worship him who lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. So the four living creatures appear to be the cheerleaders in the throne room. Whatever they said, I surely would do. If they said, holy, let's worship the Lord, I'd say, yes, sir. So, excuse me. So the four living creatures worship the Lord. The 24 elders take their crowns off, get off their thrones, and get on their faces before the throne of God. And now the scenario will become more complex, as we see in Revelation chapter 5, starting at verse 1. And I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals. Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals? And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. So I wept much, because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. But one of the elders said to me, do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and loose its seven seals. And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. Then he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. At this point, one of the elders comes up to John and reintroduces him to his Lord, the Lord that he has been proclaiming for the previous 60 years. But John, though he had seen Jesus in the flesh, had never seen him look like this. This was the fulfillment of everything John had ever been teaching about. This Jesus was worthy to take the scroll and to open it. The scroll, of course, was a title deed of the earth. Our predecessor, Adam, sinned, and he mortgaged the earth to the devil. Jesus paid the price to redeem that mortgage. He was the kinsman redeemer. Our near of kin qualified under Mosaic law to open that scroll. Now, at this point, the 24 elders, these are mysterious friends, they burst into singing and identify themselves to John and to us. So let's continue reading and find out who they say they are. Now, when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they, that's the elders, they sang a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and you have redeemed us to God by your blood, out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. And you have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. Now, the first thing to notice is the 24 elders have been redeemed. That means they're not angels. Angels don't get redeemed. They're either still following the Lord or they're part of the one-third that followed Satan. Angels don't get redeemed. So these 24 elders have been redeemed out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. Now, the last time I looked, there are more than 24 nations and a lot more than 24 tribes. And in your missionary work, you probably stumbled across a lot of tribes that we don't know about and probably won't ever. But that means this must be a whole lot more than just 24 people. And yes, by now it's clear, those are the redeemed saints, encapsulated or represented by 24 people. That's us. We are going to be sitting on those thrones. We are going to be wearing white robes. We are going to have bowls of prayers like incense to offer before the Lord. That's us, dressed up, looking good, sitting with the good view of the Lord. Out of every tribe, nation, and tongue. But why are we described as 24 elders instead of the big and diverse group that we actually are? Well, there are several reasons. The first answer is that God is a personal God. He doesn't just show himself. Here I am on a throne. And he doesn't just show the numberless multitude like he does for the second group, the group that come up in the second rapture at the midpoint of the tribulation. There's something special about our group. We are the first group that will go up in the next rapture / resurrection event. Now, many of you weren't here in October of 2022 when I taught about the seven rapture and resurrection events. But just within the pages of the book of Revelation, you can find seven different rapture and resurrection events. And I've written a booklet on this, and I can give you a card, and you can get a copy for free, download it, and read it easily in an afternoon. It's a booklet. It's not a big book. But the Lord takes us in different groups. There are some private rapture events, like the 144,000. You see them appear in heaven. You see the two witnesses. You see them appear in heaven. So there are, the Lord sees us individually as well as part of our group. But we, the 24 elders, will have a special place in that hierarchy because we were prepared. Now remember, in the book of Luke, chapter 21, verses 34 to 36, our Lord says, "Be ready." He says, "Take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the cares of this life, and that day come upon you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch, therefore, and pray always that you may be counted worthy to that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. And what are all these things? Well, if you reread Luke chapter 21, all those things parallel Matthew 24, the list of the terrible things that will happen during the tribulation period. Jesus says, be ready. And you can escape all these things. You can be in that first group of 24. You can sit there in your white robe with your crown. Sir, mine is a 7 3/4 hat size. Not all of you are fat heads like me, but so the Lord himself commands us to watch and pray and be ready. So all of us in this room are being offered the opportunity to be among the 24 elders, to be sitting on the throne, to have some sort of special responsibility during the millennium period. Now, what's so special about 24 elders? Well, there must be something special, because when you skip forward to Revelation chapter 7 and you read about when the second rapture event happens, who shows up in heaven? Starting at verse 9, after these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Now note how the second group is described as a numberless multitude, and they are very happy to get there. And God wants us to be sure who they are, as we see in verses 13 to 14. Then one of the elders, one of us, is going to turn to John and say, who are these arrayed in white robes? And where do they come from? And I said to him, sir, you know. And he said, these are the ones who come out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. So the numberless multitude will be taken from the same group of people that we were taken out of. But notice they don't get individual thrones. They get palm branches. They're dressed in white robes, but they don't have the designation of elders, and they don't have crowns necessarily. So they're drawn from the same population, the same ethnic groups that we are. And, well, let's jump ahead to verse 15. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will dwell among them. They shall neither hunger anymore. That paper really likes that microphone. They will neither hunger anymore nor thirst anymore. The sun shall not strike them, nor any heat. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. So now we have solved the mystery of the 24 elders. Who are they? They're us. We are the ones who heeded the Lord's advice to be ready, to keep our robes clean in the meantime, to try to walk in accordance with the leading of the Holy Spirit. But there's another mystery. In addition to who are the 24, we have just established we will be sitting on thrones. But when I sit on my throne, who am I going to see on the other 23 thrones? And here is where we have a little bit of fun in a positive direction. I expect to see some of my Old Testament and New Testament Bible heroes. I expect to see people that helped me come to the Lord. I expect to see Dr. Jess Moody, J. Vernon McGee, and some other pastors that I used to listen to on the radio. I expect to see my parents. And you may want to be thinking about who your 23 will be. I expect to see my parents who helped me learn to walk in a godly way. I expect to see my children and my children's children. And I expect to see some of you here. And I encourage you or challenge you as you go home to be thinking about who are the other 23 that you'll be seeing left and right of you on those thrones. Maybe there's some that you aren't sure about. There are people we should be sharing the gospel with. Maybe they're not believers today, but they could be in that numberless multitude, and they could be very, very grateful that you spoke with them, that you prayed with them, that you gave them a godly example and helped them understand Scripture. There are so many possibilities ahead of us, and the Holy Spirit will show you some of the folks that will be and should be sitting around you in that group of 23. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we feel humbled to think about how you will honor those of us who walk faithful, who follow the leading of your Holy Spirit, who are trusting in Jesus Christ as their salvation. We're grateful for those that will be coming in the second group as well. And Lord, I ask that you open up our hearts day by day to see and pray for those that you want to come with us in whatever group you have called them to. Heavenly Father, we stand in awe of your grace and your amazing plan for us, your amazing grace, and your plan for us to walk with you forever. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.